Hey geeks, welcome to episode one of the Geek Generation podcast. This is our first official episode, as we started off last time with a special on the Lost finale. I wanted to give you a little introduction to myself and what the show's about, because I neglected to do that last time. My name is Rob, and I am the founder and editor-in-chief of the Geek Generation. I started this podcast up and the site up basically as a form of entertainment. The geek culture is something I've always been a part of, and I want to be able to provide entertainment to people that are out there listening. So whether you have your iPod in your car and you want your commute to work to be a little bit easier, or you're just walking around the house and want something playing in the background, then maybe you'll give me a listen. So that's what the show is about. We're going to do more than just news. We'll get goofy at times, I hope, even though goofy sounds like a totally lame word, and I probably shouldn't have used that. But joining me on today's show for the first episode is our, I guess you could say, our resident foreign correspondent, Dave Palmacci. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Rob. Thanks. I'm doing quite nice this evening, although a little hot, but can bear it.
Yeah. Dave and I are recording in, I don't know, I think the thing in my apartment says about 86 degrees right now, and I turned off the ceiling fan and the window fan so that that sound wouldn't be interrupting our show here.
Yeah, I shut off everything in my place, too. I'm in Boston, but we're going to struggle through it, guys, and get through it.
This is all for the love of the fans, really.
It is.
So we had a few different things we wanted to get to in the first show. I want to start off every show by doing a segment we call Geek Out and Freak Out, where we talk about the things that we're geeking out on or the things that we're freaking out on. Very self-explanatory. So, Dave, I know there's something that you are geeking out on. What is it?
Of course. Well, geez, I like to mix it up, every few months. But right now, I'd say for the past 2 to 3 months, I've been really geeking out on these online Flash games, specifically tower defense ones. I play Gemcraft a lot, and I am hooked on these games. They are my drug. I can't put them away. And I don't know what it is about the tower defense, just the simple strategy of it, but that's my fix right now. I can't put it down.
I've played a couple tower defense strategies, although I was never huge on the genre. I think I actually played that game that you are talking about. What, Jewelcraft?
It's Gemcraft. Yeah, they... What's great about that, it's the different common, like, different colored gems. I'm giving a total plug for it, but whatever. It's the different colored gems have different abilities, and so it adds a lot of tactic to it. But they made a new game called Gemcraft Zero, which I guess is a prequel to the first one, but it has so many abilities to it, and different strategies and combinations you can do. You can set up traps that do different things, and a whole plethora of abilities, and the game is really long. Like, each level you pass, you unlock all these additional bonus levels, and then once you beat the game, it unlocks more bonus stuff. So yada yada, it's quite an engaging game, but it offers hours of entertainment and wasting time, especially when I have schoolwork I should be doing.
Yeah, all those online Flash games can become quick distractions, as we've seen with the evolution of Facebook and all those ridiculous games people play. I'm just as guilty as anyone else.
Yeah, I think that's it's going to be a big sort of imprint of our generation right there, these sort of mini Flash games on the social networking site and the addictions they cause.
Oh, definitely. No doubt about that. Speaking of tower defense games, too. I do have one that I actually have installed on my system. It's not a free online Flash one. However, I believe you can play the first few levels in a downloadable or online format. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Plants vs. Zombies.
No, I'm not. I haven't tried that.
Oh, that game is so good. Well, I'm sure you know the company, PopCap, that does Bejeweled and all those type of games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bejeweled's a great game.
Yeah, they have this game called Plants vs. Zombies that's ridiculously fun. I actually, when the Geek Generation first started up, I posted a Hidden Gem review on it because it's an amazing game where the premise and the humor is really great, too. You have the backyard of somebody's house, which is supposedly your house, and you have all these various different kind of plants that have different weapons, like pea shooters shoot out their peas or frozen peas. There are sunflowers, which you build up the sun to get your points to build new plants, and you basically create that defense structure, and then you have zombies slowly walk into the backyard trying to get to the house, and it's really funny, actually.
I will have to try and get that this week somehow.
It is a great game. I'm sure I can get you a copy somehow through some means, but we'll see if we can work that out. Geek outs. Anything else you're geeking out over?
Jeez, that's the big thing right now. I mean, nothing else in particular, but I'll keep you updated if it does change.
Excellent. Well, yeah, keep those in mind for future shows. I am geeking out personally over a new game that I just picked up, which is God of War 3.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. It is everything I wanted it to be and more so far. I don't know how far into the game I am yet. I've probably put in maybe 4 or 5 hours tops, but if you've played the other two God... Are you familiar with the first two God of War games?
I played the first God of War, which was pretty phenomenal. The action of it speaking of addiction, it kept you addicted. It was just really intense and very entertaining and very epic. But I didn't get a chance to play the second one, so if you didn't mind catching me up on a bit of what's going on in the third one and what things have changed, that'll be pretty groovy.
Yeah, no problem. Well, in the first game, you meet Kratos, and you find out that he killed his mother and his wife and his daughter. Then he was commissioned by the gods to kill the god of war, Ares, but he also wanted to do that for his own purposes, to get revenge and all that stuff. So, at the end of the first game, spoiler alert, if you haven't played the first God of War, which if you haven't by now, then stop listening anyway, because I don't want you listening.
No.
So in the first God,
go
of War,
play God of War.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to alienate listeners right now by telling them they shouldn't be listening to my show. So in the first God of War, you end up killing Ares and seizing the throne for yourself as the new God of War. In the second, Zeus, who you find out, another spoiler alert, and I'm going to stop saying that because these are all spoiler alerts. In the second God of War, Zeus, you find out, is your father. You're actually one of his children, like Hercules and any of those other half-Zeus, half-human creations, because the King of Gods gets around.
Yeah, Zeus does get around. He doesn't know when to stop or put it down, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. So, you find out you're one of his children. He bumps you out of the throne. You declare revenge on Zeus now, and you make your way with the help of the Titans to Mount Olympus, and the end of God of War 2 is a major cliffhanger, I guess, in the sense that Empire Strikes Back was, where it doesn't have a clear conclusion, but you and the Titans are slowly ascending Mount Olympus, and that's where the game ends. Wow. So God of War 3 picks up in that same spot. You're slowly making your way up Mount Olympus, and now the gods are gathered at their chamber at the top, and they are raining down on you, more or less, attacking the Titans. You get thrown off. Of course, every video game has to give you a starting point to work up from, so they knock you back down to the underworld. You lose all your powers, time to build back up. And this game, and compared to the others, it's very similar play style, because if it's not broken, then don't fix it, clearly. They've always been very successful with that. So the one thing that is drastically different in this game is Kratos has just a general disregard for everything living. He's virtually trying to save nobody. And you spend the majority of the game killing one god and one titan after another. I think I've gone through pretty much the entire ranks of Olympus at this point, except for Zeus himself. It's getting close to it, so I must be somewhat near the end of the game, but you just decimate everyone, and it's crazy carnage, but it's so much fun.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
And so after all the gods are dead, then what? Then Christianity moves in and...
Maybe. That'd be a big M. Night Shyamalan twist ending at the end of God of War 3.
Yeah, something. Then you have to go to the Norse gods or...
Exactly. So, that's what I'm big time geeking over, and I'm going to be sad when it's over because this is like the end of the trilogy.
Well, I don't know. I prefer it if, in my opinion, whether it's video games or series, I prefer it if they end a game that's going well, end it good on a high note instead of stretching it out and just leading into chaos.
Absolutely agree, because we've seen so many TV shows go way too far. Like, there's a lot of people speak, we just spoke about Lost. If that didn't end now, then it would have gone so far downhill. They were already losing viewers because of a few seasons where ABC asked them to really stretch it out. So to have an end game in mind and to actually end it on a high note instead of potentially having the show canceled and never getting around to a finale, I would far prefer that.
Yeah, all good things must come to an end, and unfortunately, bad things just like to keep going and going.
Oh, and they will, and we have plenty of those to talk about today, so for sure.
Yeah.
On the flip side, I don't know if there's anything that you're freaking out over right now.
Freaking out over? Geez, well, how am I going to pay rent? I don't know. But for geek stuff, I guess since this is our first episode, you know, I don't like to be too cliche and obvious on things, but I mean, I think a lot of people can relate to this, but I'm really sick of vampires. I think the whole genre, the entire franchise, mythology, whatever you want to call it, has been pissed on so much. And, I mean, we could point our fingers at Twilight a lot, but, I mean,
can point all the fingers at Twilight.
Yeah, let's point all 10 of them there, even toes, like, everything at that, because what that's now done is open up the gates for, well, there's a show now coming out called The Gates, I think, that has to deal with vampires or something like that on ABC or whatnot, but there's all these other shows that are just coming out and new books and just that are all jumping on that bandwagon. But I mean, for instance, I feel, what is it? What I mean, let's put in contrast, like Harry Potter. I'm not a big Harry Potter fan, but I can understand why people like it. But going to Twilight, jumping on that bandwagon as opposed to jumping on like a Harry Potter bandwagon or like a Pokemon bandwagon, like, it's just like Twilight is so horrible. Like, it's just you're taking a genre, like something like Harry Potter was made for, like, it's supposed to be PG. Things like back in the day, like Pokemon, it's for kids. So then you had all these other copies, but vampires, it's supposed to be brutal. It's like this really demonic underworld evil mythology, and they're combining it with like teeny bop. Oh, no one likes me. My life is hard. And, oh, wow, he's so dreamy. Type bullcrap. And, you know, it's just getting out of hand. And, you know, I'm guilty. I go over one of my friend's house. Sometimes we watch True Blood just to kind of laugh at it. But the show is just, every new vampire movie or show, the mythology is different. And that's what really pisses me off a lot and makes me freak out. Because when I was a kid, and I think a lot of us can relate to this, like being Dracula for Halloween was so badass, and now it's just like, oh, vampires are just so overdone. And to me, it's not like, I think some people have the opinion that zombies are being overdone, but in my opinion, I think zombies at least are maintaining a consistency of balancing and good comedies and good horror and good video games. Like, there's a lot of video games that just keep doing zombies, but it doesn't seem to be really failing anywhere. Not that I'm a big zombie movie guy. I mean, I have my likes and dislikes, but for vampires, I think the whole thing is just going down the tubes.
I totally agree. I mean, I don't want to get on a major Twilight rant because I think we could do we really could spend the entire show doing that, and I actually think that would be a hilarious special. Like, I have had so many people say, you need to go see the Twilight movies, and I actually sat down and I watched the first one, and that was probably one of the first reviews I wrote, which I feel is somewhat humorous because I really had no other approach I could take with it. So I think it might actually be fun in the future if we got the staff together and watched maybe two or three of them. I apologize beforehand for even suggesting this, but to watch them and then discuss exactly why we don't like them. I mean, and we'll stay open-minded. I'm not going to go in saying that it's going to be horrible. I just have that assumption, but it would be very enlightening, I think, although it may alienate even more of our audience to give that kind of analysis.
I think that's pretty valid, though. I mean, for the sake of having a so-called fair judgment, but to sort of just knock on it, you know, I'd be up for watching it to see, you know, exactly, you know, what we're talking about, to pull those points out. And I would like to video or get our reactions of it. I think that would be pretty funny if you sort of edited a video of during different parts of how miserable we look and confused and painstakingly laughable and pathetic the movie is. But
maybe we make it a game to see who can stay awake the longest or who can just prevent themselves from jumping out the window.
Sure.
So, yeah. I mean, we have to take whatever method we can at that point.
We'll watch it atop a 50-story building and whoever jumps first.
We might have to stop in between and watch, like, monster truck rallies or something just to keep going.
Yeah, something. Anyway.
So, all right, so that's our Geek Out and Freak Out section, which took a lot longer than I expected, but hey, whatever, we're filling minutes right now.
Yeah.
Moving on to another thing I wanted to talk about. I haven't had a chance to write reviews yet for two movies I recently saw, but I wanted to kind of put that out here first, so our listeners, I guess, would get the knowledge or get the benefit of my knowledge and wisdom first before our online readers. And it's very little knowledge and wisdom, I assure you. But I recently saw, first I'll talk about Toy Story 3, because I saw that most recently. And before I go into the review, it's already incredibly successful. Pixar, I believe, stated that this is their largest monetary debut out of any movie that they've had so far, which is awesome. I think that is in part to the fact that that 3D is so prevalent now. However, I opted to not see it in 3D because, frankly, I'm already over the craze.
Really, Rob? You are? You're done with 3D? You've washed your hands of it?
I'm pretty much done with 3D. I saw a few movies, including Avatar, which was the major one. I saw Bolt a couple years ago. I saw Up in 3D. I saw Ice Age 3, I believe, in 3D. So I've seen a decent amount of 3D movies at this point, and they're not offering, aside from Avatar, because that was an experience in itself.
Yeah.
I pretty much am over the whole 3D thing, and the only movie I would even consider seeing in something like that would be one of the upcoming superhero movies. Like, Christopher Nolan already said Batman 3 not happening in 3D. He's a 2D director. He likes that. I'm very satisfied with that. However, when Spider-Man reboots, that's going to come out in 3D with the same technology that they used to do Avatar. So I'm considering 3D for that, because Spider-Man swinging around the city in 3D sounds pretty amazing to me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm with you on the 3D thing and not getting too much into it. I also feel Avatar was just this unique experience, because one of the things I'm really sick of is all these movie trailers that are out now that advertise 3D. They're always throwing shit at the screen, like, whoa, 3D, look at that soda, man, it's coming right at you.
Totally.
He threw a knife, he threw a cat at the screen, and that's all it is. And Avatar didn't really do that. It was part of the movie. Like, they seemed together. There was this, you know, harmony of yeah, it was 3D, but they weren't like chucking arrows at the screen all the time, and like, you didn't feel like you were in Universal Studios Florida on one of those entertainment rides.
Right, right. I think it was actually James Cameron too that said, a good 3D movie doesn't throw things out at the crowd. It actually opens up the screen like a window and lets you step in. So you're going into that depth of field instead of having it thrown at you.
Amen to that, yeah. And, you know, I read a funny quote recently. It said, if you can't make it good, make it 3D. And that's sort of laughable because I think that that's the danger we might be heading into with Hollywood, is that they're just going to be dishing out these movies because they know they can make, they get people to pay an extra $3 to $5 to see it in 3D as opposed to 2D when, you know, behind the movie, it's not really that good for the most part. But
yeah, and I imagine it takes a little more money to make a 3D movie, so now there's a huge risk involved with creating something that's a it's a risk. Anything where you're going to take a leap of faith and create something new and innovative, there's such a monetary attachment to that now. We're just not going to see it as much. But we're going in a whole new direction with this. So talking about Toy Story 3 itself, if I were to rank it first off, between Toy Story 1 and 2, I would say it's probably the second best. I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter comparing it to the Lost finale, which I find interesting in like the last 15 minutes of it, which I can't necessarily see, but it was a great movie on its own. I would probably give it a 4.5 out of 5 if I just threw out my initial reaction. And I think one of the reasons that it is so good is because it has such a great villain. And any movie you see, you need a great villain to make the heroes better, or else it's just not that interesting. That's one of the reasons that Batman I love so much, because he has such an incredible rogues gallery that plays off of him so well. And in Toy Story 3, they actually had a very good villain. Unlike 2, I didn't really care for the whole angle of the collector and the, what was it, the guy with the pickaxe. I don't even remember his name, the old dude, the old toy that was
him. I only saw parts of the second one. I remember seeing the first one way back, but like these movies, even though they're Disney movies, I find them really entertaining and funny. Like, I'm the guy that's in the theater, you know, I'll go like on a date or whatever to these movies, because, by the way, guys, like, taking a girl to see these movies, like, they love that, you know, I don't care. And I'm there, like, laughing over every other kid, you know, and I'm there, I'm 5 years old again or whatever.
Oh, but totally. I mean, Pixar is incredibly smart about making lots of humor that's physical, and I hate to necessarily use the term lowbrow, but that's what appeals to the child demographic. But they make it so that adults are going to enjoy it, and I think might even enjoy it more than the kids that are watching it.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's something when the 3D animated movies first came out. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to see this. You know, it looks like for kids. But then things like Monsters, Inc. and Up, and, you know, they had not only great stories, they're funny, and, you know, so what if they're rated PG or whatnot?
Yeah, Pixar is just genius when it comes to making movies. I'll see absolutely anything that they put out, and I think I really have seen everything they put out at this point, because, oh, it's just so good. But Toy Story 3, definitely go see it, I would say. The other movie I saw recently was one I was very excited for, because I am a huge fan of the video game franchise Prince of Persia. I've played every single iteration of it, from the first game that showed up on Commodores back in the day. Great franchise. And the one thing I was scared about is the trap that video game movies constantly fall into, is that I think they're just capitalizing on the property and not trying to make a good movie.
Yeah. So yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's the constant problem with all these video game movies. But I have to say, Prince of Persia might be the best video game movie I have ever seen.
Really? Well, I played the games back in the day too. Not as extensively as you have, man. But definitely from seeing the trailer, it looked to be probably the most finely tuned and really well put together video game adaptation movie that, you know, has probably come to light, because I know exactly what you're talking about. There's been so many, movies that have come from video, you know, the idea of the original video game that have just, you know, you watch and you're like, meh, you know, it, like, the best one will be like a maybe a letter grade of like a B minus or B. Like there's never been a really good video game movie, unlike a comic book adaptation into a movie.
Oh yeah, totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's. Did I just hear a cop car?
Yeah, they're after me.
Yeah, oh, all right.
There's a beat in the city with my windows open.
I won't tell them exactly where you are then, or else people will be calling the cops on you right now.
Good.
All right. So anyway, yeah, Prince of Persia, and one of the things that was so successful about it, I think, too, is that they put a great team around it. It is another Disney movie in the sense that Toy Story 3 was, and Disney's been really on their game lately, and they brought in the same team that put together Pirates of the Caribbean. And even though that franchise I've kind of given up on, I mean, they had a great first outing. The second one was very meh, and I gave up after that, but that same team with a new franchise seems to have put some life into it, and it actually came out really well. I would definitely give it a solid 4 out of 5 as far as movies in general. For a video game movie, it's probably a 5 out of 5, if not above that, in comparison to all that other crap we saw. However, yeah. The one exception would be, I don't know if you're familiar with the Max Payne franchise of games and the movie that came out with that. While it wasn't necessarily the greatest movie, Max Payne might have been the most accurate in its translation from game to movie, and still was very enjoyable on its own.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for that, and I was like, wow, that looks exactly like the video game.
Oh yeah, the art style and everything, and spoiler alert if you haven't played the game or seen the movie, but I don't really think this is even much of a spoiler, is that the movie ends in the same scene that the game ends. Maybe not the same scene, the same setting, same place. I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. But Prince of Persia, 4 out of 5 is a movie. The one thing about it I have to say that I respect a lot from Disney, and I think other directors should take a nod from when they're creating their movies, is that I believe Prince of Persia was PG. And for a movie where you see the trailer of a guy going through armies with a sword, you yeah. can't really expect that to be a PG movie. But what they do is when he swings his sword at somebody, they do either like the silhouette or they do the quick cut where you get the implication of the hit, but you never see the actual hit. And I think that's really becoming a lost art in Hollywood.
Interesting.
Because like you get movies like Kill Bill that Tarantino's putting out where you just have ridiculous amounts of blood shooting all over. You get 300. And those movies are stylistic in their own sense. They know what they are and that's what they put forward. But I think it's kind of started a trend where we're losing that subtle violence where you don't necessarily need to see it to really get the full impact of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's another subject in its sense, but it has to do with shock factor.
Absolutely, yeah. So those two reviews aside, I want to talk a little bit about some upcoming summer movies. A lot of people, I think, are expecting a lot of E3 talk in this episode because E3 was last week and there is a ton of news on E3, so much so that I didn't feel I would do it justice if I tried to wade through it all in our first official episode. So I wanted to stick to summer movies, and I have a list of a lot of different ones that are coming out or have come out and kind of get your thoughts on a few of them. Like, June 11th was the release of The A-Team.
That it was. That, we had The A-Team, and I don't know. See, I was a fan of the TV series when I was a little kid, and I don't know if we should kick this off now, but, you know, we're seeing a lot of 80s things from the 80s remade into movies, you know, whether it was a TV series or it was a movie back in the 80s, and in my opinion, it goes to show how powerful the 80s were in the sense of originality and creativity. Granted, a lot of things in the 80s had the goal of just selling a lot of toys.
Like, and they did sell a lot of toys, and I bought a lot of them.
Oh, I did too, Rob. I still got them at my parents' house.
Ditto. Like,
Masters of the Universe, you know? That was their goal, and so many other things. But really, even though they weren't these, you know, amazing Shakespearean stories or whatever, the concept behind them and the ideas of them were very original, and they stood out in the sense of identity, like with the A-Team, with you know, G.I. Joes and all that stuff. So as far as the A-Team movie goes, I'm curious about it, but it's just, to me, Hollywood right now, they're really in what I call this safe zone. They want to keep making movies that work, which I don't blame them, because, I mean, the movie industry is, I mean, the one thing in this this recession that seems to be, you know, still pulling in crazy amounts of money. But I think what happens is they lose a lot of the nostalgia from these things that we grew up with, you know, in the 80s or 70s or 90s. When they do a remake or an adaptation to a movie, I mean, the basic thing is, in my opinion, people want to have nostalgia. They want to go to it and see what they liked about the original idea, you know, the original A-Team. So I'm going to be curious to see it. I'd like to hope that it has that type of nostalgia, but I don't know. From judging from the trailer, it seems to be a lot of bit actually off the wall with your typical type of Hollywood movie as of late, which is why if you haven't seen on the Geek Generation website, I mostly cover independent movies and foreign-made movies, mostly because I just like to see things that are different and original. And not to say that everything coming out of Hollywood now isn't, but, I mean, for the majority, there seems to be a lot of movies that are just, you know, in that safe zone.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, there are a lot of concepts that are coming back around. There was talk of a Flight of the Navigator remake at some point.
See, there you go.
and there are certain movies that I just don't think you can redo. For instance, if someone did a Back to the Future remake, I'd be out there cracking skulls, because that is, you can't redo that.
No.
You can't recapture what that movie was when it was made. It was just so amazing, all of them. And I don't care what people say about Back to the Future 3, that is still a better movie than a lot of the garbage we're getting these days, so...
Yeah, right. And another one, I think, that I know that they're dying to make a remake of is The Goonies, and that's a movie where I'll be out there picketing, you know, that you can't remake, but, I mean, we're seeing it, hey... The Karate Kid, Rob.
Oh. You know,
what do you think? Yeah, exactly. You summed up everything right there.
The Karate Kid. I could not be more upset about this, to the point where I put a statement out on the site that I would not report any news on the Karate Kid remake, because that is pure blasphemy, in my opinion. Here's the fact that I don't think a lot of people know, is that this movie was not originally supposed to be a Karate Kid remake. They took a similar concept, and there are similarities between the two movies, but from what I've heard, and don't call me on this because I probably need to do more research than I do for a lot of the things I blab my mouth about, but what I heard is that this movie was not a Karate Kid remake. They made it. They said, hey, that's very similar. They decided to tack on the name afterwards to capitalize on those people that would buy a ticket just because it was a Karate Kid remake.
Exactly.
And that just infuriates me to no end, because that movie, for an 80s kid, is like the ultimate underdog rising up against the bully, empowering, like, oh, it's just so good for what it's supposed to be.
And Cobra Kai never die.
Exactly, man. Sweep the leg, Johnny. Sweep the leg. But this is just wrong. So wrong. And it bothers me immensely that it did more successfully in the opening weekend than the A-Team did. It beat it out. And I love the A-Team. I plan on seeing the movie this week like you. I was a big fan of the TV show. I'm on board with the remake. I've heard it's very, very good. I can understand remaking TV shows into movies a lot more than I can remaking movies into movies. It's the 80s. Yeah. I mean, 20 years ago, maybe? Really? Already? Come on!
Well, even that, I think you have to draw the line somewhere, because it's like Jaws came out in the mid-70s, but if they remade that, it's not going to be like the original.
See, that's exactly what that would be, too. It would be 3D shark jumping out of the screen, biting you out of your seat. It's totally
super
ridiculous.
Fast and
there are certain things, unless they're going to remake a movie shot for shot with the same... I'm not even going to suggest that. You know what? Scrap that from the record. That's blasphemy, too. I don't want to see that, because there is something that people love about these movies in the way that they were done. Even seeing Clash of the Titans, I saw a little while ago. It's fun. It's nothing like the original in the charm that claymation gives you. You can't remake that with a CGI monster, and the original actors have a certain presence that you latch on to, and you can't replace them. It's a different character when you have a different performer, and Hollywood does not seem to understand that.
Well, yeah, you're hitting it on the head there, and that's what, in my opinion, is happening to Hollywood, you know, save for these few examples of gems that come out once a year, but a lot of things are drying up, like originality, creativity, but also what you said, like presence. And, you know, these sort of action movies, epic movies, it's all about, you know, how much CGI can we throw in it? How much stuff can we throw at the screen? And, ooh, like we talked about earlier in the episode tonight, the 3D aspect of it. Just pop on those glasses and, yeah, you just blew $13 on this movie. And that, I mean, to me, it's like I see a lot, like Clash of the Titans, I didn't want to see that because I knew what's going to be expected. There's just going to be a ton of shit flying at the screen, and, you know, that's about it. I remember the original one, the clay animation sort of stop motion creatures, yeah, they were a little corny, you know, if you look at it, but back then, you know, that was awesome, and still watching it today, it has some class to it.
Oh, it does, absolutely. And movies that take that approach now still, too. I mean, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, I don't know if you saw that.
I did see
that. Very quirky movie, very funny, incredibly charming in the fact that they used stop motion instead of CGI.
It was amazing. And this is something, I mean, just as a side note, I've been slowly working on small little, like, independent movies, just helping with basic production assistance, nothing big. But I was talking to a special effects guy at this one movie set, and we were talking sort of what we're on now is how CGI, it's almost getting to the point where it's just as expensive to do everything in CGI as it is to makeup. But there's a few people that are starting to go back to makeup, because one of the things, like, Rob, I know you're not a big horror fan. I'm not either as far as the slasher movie goes. I don't like slashing movies. I like the original Alien. Like, what was great about that is the set design of that. If you watch that movie, the first 30 minutes of it, when they first go in that ship that they get the distress call from, the set of that was actually sculpted by Geiger, who is this crazy Swiss artist, very, very dark, but anyways, and like the makeup on the alien, it wasn't like superb. I think the second movie was a little better for makeup, but the costumes of it was just phenomenal, and like for Predator. But the things about those movies is like they were creatures that scared you because they were convincing. With CGI monsters and stuff, it doesn't scare me. I don't care how much gore and blood you throw in there, it's not scary, because I know it's not really there.
I agree with you. I mean, even if something is a suit or a puppet, and even though you can argue that's not necessarily real, it's tangible. Somebody can touch it.
Exactly.
Our mind knows the difference.
Yes, so psychologically, what you just said, even though up front, we know that it's a guy in a suit, but psychologically, in our minds, we're like, okay, that creature's really there. And I can understand, I bring this point up a lot, like, okay, if you're having a scene in a movie where you're having thousands of goblins march against thousands of, you know, elves and Lord of the Rings, whatever, yeah, okay, you CGI, you know, but I think the lost art of special effects and makeup has it's losing its way in a lot of movies, but I'm hoping that it starts to come back. You know, things like animatronics. Like, could you imagine if they remade the Dark Crystal, Rob? Like,
with CGI? You know what? Like, they've been talking about that.
I'm not surprised. I'm not friggin' surprised. But things like Jim Henson puppets, like, that is such an art, and that movie lived and breathed. And I think an exception to the CGI was the movie Avatar really sucked me in as well, even though a lot of it was, you know, CGI, but the way we talked earlier about how it was seamless with combining the 3D element of it to the movie, it convinced me of this world.
Absolutely.
You know, and that is one big exception, in my opinion, that I want
to
make.
Well, yeah, and there's an exception to every rule out there, but yes. I think there is some credit to establishing these rules and kind of keeping them going from one movie to another.
Yeah, but again, that's Hollywood's safe zone. Well, it worked in this movie, let's keep doing it again, and just, you know, as long as they get those weekend tickets.
Absolutely, yeah, I know. It's show business, right? They got to be making money, but they need to focus a little less on the business, a little more on the art, and they'd probably make a little more money if they really did that.
Well, they would, because look at movies like Avatar and The Dark Knight. I mean, those movies had great special effects, but they also had art to them. They had a great story, great characters, great presence to the movie, and look at, like, they're one of the top grossing movies of all time. So, you know, I think people out there are not as dumb as Hollywood thinks. Yeah, you know, when unfortunately we saw Transformers 2, Rob, there were a lot. There were so many dumb people in that theater that thought that movie was good.
That's 2.5 hours of my life I would love to get back, trust me.
Yeah, but at least we had a good time bashing it afterwards.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I don't think it was worth that much money. That that might have been one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Period.
It was horrible. Yeah, I mean, the popcorn was good, but if anyone wants to debate us that movie was good, please post it on the Geek Generation.
Oh my goodness. If you like Transformers 2, send me an email immediately so I can just say how dumb a human being you are on the air, please.
That'd be great. But yeah.
So summer movies.
summer movies. What's coming up?
Yeah, so we took care of that tangent well. Instead of going through every single one, I'll tell you about a few of the ones that I'm particularly excited about. One of which I want to see it, even though it just flopped last weekend, is Jonah Hex. That looks interesting to me. I'm familiar with the character somewhat from his appearances in Batman the Animated Series, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But Jonah Hex is a pretty cool character that most people apparently just were not interested in.
He's pretty cool. I think one of the turnoffs. Oh, this is going to be so hypocritical, though, because she's hot. Megan Fox is
I knew
hot,
you were going
okay?
there.
But I hate her as a person, as an actress. Like, I've read all the behind-the-scenes stuff. She's just a bitch. And, yeah, she has a body, but I think she's she has no brain. She's just dumb. But the movie does look pretty cool, and if you're a fan of that, of his comic character, the movie looks bang on to, you know, really capture what, you know, the character is about.
Right. So, I mean, that looks pretty cool. The Last Airbender looks interesting to me, even though I've never seen the show, and it upsets me a little bit that they couldn't name it after the show, because it's patterned after a show called Avatar, The Last Airbender, and clearly that name was taken.
Yeah, obviously.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that looks really cool. It's just M. Night Shyamalan, I've lost faith in him. I don't know,
he has given us some flops recently, but I think it's interesting that he's willing to take on a franchise, which means no big twist.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes me curious about it. That's the one saving thing that I'm really curious about seeing this. I'm like, okay, there's probably not going to be UFOs at the end or
probably
something. Yeah,
we can't be totally sure, but that looks interesting to me visually and everything. That's pretty cool.
You know, a movie I can't wait
what's
for
that?
Is Inception.
Oh, well, yeah, you mentioned anything that Christopher Nolan's done, and I'm on board, because that guy's amazing.
He is amazing. Like, I've yet to see one of his movies I was disappointed in. And an actor that, when I was younger, I didn't like because of Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, I didn't like his older movies, but after his recent movies like Blood Diamond, Shutter Island, I really enjoyed. I really have a lot of respect for him now, and thinks he's doing a lot better movies and really good job acting. He's become a great actor. And Ellen Page, I have a crush on. Yeah.
Well,
so that movie
DiCaprio has, like you said, he has turned his entire game around from the heartthrobish type leading man to really someone that when you see is in a movie, you can say there's a really good chance of that being good because he is such a phenomenal performer.
Precisely.
So yeah, that I will. I'm so on board for that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you seen Shutter Island?
I haven't, and I've heard it's. See, I've heard mixed reviews about it. I've heard that it's very good from some. I've heard that there's a lot of needless twists from others. So
I thought it was excellent. I think you'd like it, Rob. It's not a horror movie slash. It's a very good suspenseful mystery movie, and it comes together really well. I watched it for the second time actually last weekend, and I think you enjoy it. It definitely, if you like the series Lost, you'd like this movie because it takes place on an island,
right.
And so it's very psychological and overall a great movie. So,
well, I'm definitely curious to give it a try. I think for the same reasons that you have any interest or curiosity in The Last Airbender, I think it's very interesting that Scorsese has attempted something kind of outside of his comfort zone, so I do want to see what he did with that. For other summer movies, we just said Inception. As much as I'm kind of over the whole Angelina Jolie action chick thing, Salt looks somewhat interesting to me.
It does look interesting. I mean, I got a little sick of that type of genre with, you know, the entire, like, CIA is after this one person, but he outsmarts everybody, or she outsmarts everybody, that whole format. But this movie looks kind of different and interesting in it seems to be a little more behind it than just, you know, her taking out people with back kick flips and flying from the air crap, and you know, it looks a little more convincing is
agreed,
what I would say.
Agreed, definitely. I'm just scared that the trailer is presenting more depth than the movie actually has to offer.
Yeah.
But that's a constant head fake that Hollywood loves to play with us more intellectual types.
Yes.
Colonel Wolfington in the building?
Yes. Intellectual types.
Fantastic. As far as other things, let me see what I got here.
How about these little side movie? Like, I just want to touch upon this real quick. Like, what's with this movie Predators? Does that come out? Like, with Lawrence Fishburne and Adrian Brody?
Yeah,
like, I thought
that's a summer movie that I opted to skip over because I really? Predators? Like, one Predator. I mean, the premise, in my opinion, is flawed. One predator on our planet is an immense challenge to take down that one predator. Now we're going to throw a handful of humans on the predator world and expect them to survive. That movie should be 5 minutes long.
It should be. And what, like, since when is Adrian Brody Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like, this action guy? Like, are you kidding me? And, I mean, the past few Alien vs. Predator movies were just, I mean, they were terrible. That's another franchise that they were so good. The first Predator movies and Alien movies, and then the franchises just got really horrible. They just, like you said, like, okay, you have the first Predator movie that he takes out all these commandos, like Jesse Ventura, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, they barely get out of there. Arnold barely gets out with just one Predator, and then all of a sudden, hey, they're on the planet with a bunch of them. That's
right.
Like the same thing with Alien. The first Alien movie, you know, it was like this unstoppable thing where the acid burned through everything, and then when you get to Alien vs. Predator, the acid was selective of what it would burn through.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the complete premise of the movie. I think it'd be more interesting if it was like a special team of humans trained and selected to go to the Predator world to kind of take them out as a whole. That's more interesting to me than the Predators pulling a group, which I believe is the premise. So, I don't know. Either way, unless one of those guys is Batman, they're not lasting more than 5 minutes. I don't care.
Yeah.
So, yeah. there's really only two other major summer movies that I'm excited about, and one of them is very self-explanatory. I know it's going to be probably a huge crap fest, and I don't even care because I want to see The Expendables.
Yeah, you know what, dude? I agree with you. I want to see that movie, and you know what? I'm just going to get some popcorn, a soda, and yeah, what's to expect from it? I think, you know, Stallone had the right idea with that movie. Like, before they're all in wheelchairs, make a movie with, you know, a majority of these action stars that we grew up with, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and just put them in one movie and see where it goes. But yeah, I think a lot of people could agree with that. Like, we want to just see where it goes.
Yeah, the only complaint with the movie that I have so far, of course I haven't even seen it, but the fact that Jean-Claude Van Damme and Steven Seagal apparently turned down roles in the movie, and Steve Austin is in it, but The Rock is not, which he's a little more established as an action person, so...
Yeah, totally. I mean, I guess it couldn't be perfect, but it would have been perfect if you get those three guys in it.
Right. But, I mean, the fact that they pulled so many of those guys together and are doing that, I'm totally on board with a super action fest, and I was from the second I heard about it. I didn't need to see a trailer. They said, and I know that's the whole draw. There are all these guys in a movie. Let it be what it is, and I hope it is what it is. That's fine. Yeah. It doesn't need to be more than it should be.
I remember there's so much skepticism when it was first announced. People were like, no way.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, everyone's like, oh, it's on IMDb, but there's no way they're making that movie. Yeah. That's ludicrous.
Yep, no way.
But I don't think Ludacris is in it, is he?
No.
No, okay. He's not an established action star yet?
No.
All right, good.
Not yet.
Finally, the last movie that I'm very excited about, even though I know nothing of the comic book, is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you've really seen trailers for it, but it looks... Oh, really? You haven't?
I gotta check it out.
Oh, wow. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is based on not a huge comic book. It's a lesser-known publisher. I don't believe it's one of the major two or even three top publishers, but it is basically a kid who falls in love with a girl, and the girl has seven evil ex-boyfriends, or exes, I should say, because one of them is a girl. Seven evil exes that the kid must fight to continue dating her. And it's very over the top, it's very stylized and cartoony, and knows it's a comic book movie. The only thing is that I'm not a huge Michael Cera fan, and he does seem to be playing the same role that he does in every movie.
He does. He's the same friggin' character in every damn movie.
But you know what? I think this is the time that he should actually be playing it. So
yeah,
definitely check that trailer out. I think I posted a few of them on the site, and it looks awesome.
The concept sounds pretty crazy. I like it.
Oh, it's awesome concept. And they even have a video game that's coming out on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, I believe in August, and it's 8-bit. It's stylized after River City Ransom type, like, fighting game like that. I don't know if you played that back.
Yeah, I remember that.
But it looks like so much fun. I don't know if I'm more excited about the game or the movie at this point. So we've gone, we're over 50 minutes now. We were going to try and do this in 45, so that's not bad, right?
That's not bad at all. I mean, a little over an hour, but better than an hour and a half. Yeah. So
hope
we didn't put anyone to sleep.
Are you insulting our first episode in that we went an hour and a half on one episode of Lost?
No.
No, not at all. We weren't long-winded in any sense of the word. Thank you for tuning in, those of you who did, to our debut episode of the Geek Generation Podcast. While we're closing out, I do have a few things I need to let the audience know, just in case they want to get in touch with us. You can visit the site at www.thegeekgeneration.com. I write for it on a daily basis. Dave writes for it when he gets a chance to, as do many other people who have their own particular interests. If you want to become a writer or even submit an article for the site, I am taking articles. I guess I should probably set up an email address so people can submit them, which I meant to do and haven't done yet. I'll get that to you next show. Maybe that'll force some people to subscribe and actually listen. You can subscribe to us in iTunes now, which is kind of exciting. I like seeing my album artwork inside of the iTunes store. That's kind of fun. If you have questions for us, comments for us, or just want to tell us how many, tongue-tied, tell us Tell us that we're giant idiots that can't speak on a microphone.
You can get hooked on phonics.
You can send all that stuff to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. I hope that's fairly easy to remember. There's a donate button on the site. I do this for free. All the
Rob
people,
is broke. He needs money.
Rob is broke and unemployed and needs money. I am looking for a job. But aside from that, if you'd like to donate some money to the site, I would love to get another microphone and a mixing board, so maybe we can keep doing this in a more professional manner than we are right now.
I'm wearing a tie.
Really, I can't see you because you're in Boston.
Oh.
Oh. Maybe we need webcams, too. Anyway.
This was fun.
Yeah, this was fun. The theme to the show tonight, or not just tonight, and I don't know when you're listening, it might be this morning, tomorrow morning, whenever. The theme for the show is provided by a Swedish rock band by the name of Machine Supremacy. Fortunately, I had gotten in touch with them and they gave us permission to use one of their songs as an intro and outro for the show, so you might even be hearing that in the background now. And last but not least, I would like to mention another podcast that I'm a big fan of and that mentions us frequently on their show. That is Dangerous Memories. You can search for them on iTunes or you can find their postings on HectorAndTodd.com. If you're not familiar with the podcast, it's two guys who give you a little bit of news and then follow that up with the second half of their show. Every week they watch two of the AFI Top 100, and they started their way from the bottom. They're working their way up, and they're giving their takes on those two movies pretty much every week, which is an awesome concept that I wish I had thought of first.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's a really cool podcast if you want to get into that one. But if you can only listen to one podcast, it should probably be us. So we're hoping to do this on a bi-weekly basis. We'll see how that holds out. But aside from that, I am Rob. You are here with myself and Dave.
Hey, that's me.
And I just want to say until next time, geek out.